This show's guest is a true Renaissance woman, currently interning for a company in Nigeria after earning her MBA from Stanford GSB as a member of the class of 2020. And she has a fascinating series of experiences before arriving at Stanford. Let's learn more.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Acceptance founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 377th episode of Admission Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me. At this point, I'm thrilled to invite you to Get Accepted to Wharton, which I will present on August 19th at 10 a.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Pacific. That would be 1 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Eastern. Yikes, Wharton's round one deadline is next month, September 15th. Tune into the webinar, attend the webinar to learn what Wharton is looking for and how you can present it. Register, it'll take just a second, at accepted.com/377webinar. Our guest today, Alana Walder-Bizance, earned her Bachelor's in Engineering from the Olin College of Engineering in 2013. As a student at Olin, she also had an arts and humanities concentration in theater and founded the Olin Opera Organization. After graduating, she pursued her master's at the University of Cambridge in European Literature and Culture and was a Gates Cambridge Scholar. She then studied for a year at the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich as a Fulbright Scholar. Returning to the U.S., she worked for 3 years for Yahoo as a product manager and joined Stanford's GSB's class of 2020, where she was a Siebel Scholar and an R.J. Miller Scholar. She just became a data analyst and marketing intern, working remotely for a Nigerian-based company on behalf of Stanford Seed, the Institute for Innovation in Developing Economies. And what I've told you is just the tip of the iceberg. Alana has traveled extensively. Per her LinkedIn profile, she speaks English, Spanish, German, and Italian reasonably well, and some Japanese, French, and Hebrew. I'm not exaggerating when I say she is a true Renaissance woman. Alana, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure having you on today. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background? Where did you grow up? What do you like to do for fun?
Sure. So I grew up in Portland, Oregon, to two parents who had both studied theater in college and had started their careers as actors. So they pretty much pushed me onto the stage as soon as I could walk and talk. And I think that's been a through line of things I'm interested in throughout my life. Even as I was being engineering and business, I've been an avid both actress and theater goer.
I also noticed there was a whole dance component to your life, ballroom dancing, attending balls, etc. Is that true also?
Yes, that came a little bit later. I was horribly graceless as a child, and my mother, who was actually also a dance teacher on the side, despaired of me and pulled me out of dance classes because I was so bad at it. But at some point later in life, I found my feet and really developed a passion for ballroom dancing.
All right, great. Now, I gave the bare bones of your education and professional progression. Can you go into a little more depth and perhaps discuss how you developed your interest in engineering analytics along with your interest in opera, dance, and the humanities? I mean, they don't tend to go together.
Yeah, so the humanities and opera and dance definitely came first. And I actually discovered engineering through Girl Scouts, probably when I was 8 or 9. Yeah, my Girl Scout troop went to a Lego robotics sampler. Just a day where we all built robots out of Legos together. And I thought it was the coolest thing. And I signed up for Lego robotics after school, eventually graduated to building robots out of metal instead of Legos. But I did that throughout middle school and high school. And that was what sparked the interest in engineering and in building robots, which is pretty much what I did for my 4 years of my engineering degree.
Oh, that's fascinating. Wow. Okay. I have some children and grandchildren who just love Legos. You know, the children have grown up, and actually both of them are in computers. Why did you decide to go for an MBA?
So I was working in tech as a product manager, and I think there were two things that really sparked the MBA decision there. One was I felt like in my role as a product manager, a really solid grasp of business was what I was lacking most. I had the communication skills, I had the technical background, but what product managers make a lot of business strategy decisions. And I felt like, you know, I was Googling around for things, but I didn't really have a solid framework or understanding of the best way to approach those. And then I also had a hypothesis that maybe I wanted to move out of product management and be more directly involved in the business side of things, and particularly eventually switch to working on the business side of nonprofits. And so an MBA seemed like a really good chance to explore that hypothesis more and see whether that was actually for me, and also to gain skills that would be really useful regardless of whether I stayed in tech or did make that switch.
Right. So I was one of the things I was going to ask you is, do you see yourself using your MBA for some of the more humanities-oriented interests that you have?
Absolutely. I mean, 15 or 20 years from now, I would love to be the general manager of an opera or theater company.
So that would be a switch. Again, you seem to be going back and forth between the two loves.
It's hard to decide when you have a lot of interests.
Yeah, it's true. I have a niece, actually, who had very much the same thing. She loved the humanities and piano and music, and she also had a very mathematical bent. Do you remember anything particularly challenging about your MBA application process?
Part of the challenge for me is that I decided pretty late that I wanted to apply the year I was applying. It was still within round one, and I knew I would only apply in round one because of some scholarship eligibility things. But I decided pretty late before the round one deadline that I wanted to do it that year. So I think the biggest challenge was the scramble to sort of get my tests scheduled, get everything drafted, get recommendations and everything in by that round one deadline.
You know, one of the things that we sometimes see with clients is, especially the clients who have varied interests and frankly a lot of accomplishments, that they have trouble deciding what to focus on in writing their essays. Did you find that? Did you have that trouble?
For me, it was pretty clear that my story was going to be about opera.
So that was, all right, great. And how did you handle the challenges in terms of the time management and the scramble and all that that you mentioned?
Honestly, as soon as I made the decision and committed, I'd forced myself to sit down and draft everything pretty much right away, you know, knowing that there would have to be revisions and that I would want some feedback from trusted friends, etc. But I think just getting something on paper as fast as possible was the only way to guarantee that it was done on time and without great stress.
Okay. Let's talk about your experience at Stanford now before COVID hit. Okay. What did you like most about your experience?
I mean, everyone says the same thing, but it's true, right? It's the people that you meet there. It took me a while, I would say, to find my people at Stanford simply because in terms of my interests and what I do for fun, I don't think I'm the stereotypical MBA student. I'm not particularly into partying, which is what people imagine when they think of MBAs. But once I sort of found the group of people I was connected with, it's just a wonderful, wonderful group of friends. And I also met my partner at the GSB. So naturally, that was a highlight as well in terms of the people.
Yeah, for sure. Now, besides the people, in terms of the program, was there anything that you found particularly satisfying or intriguing?
Yeah, I think the most satisfying things for me were the role play based classes.
Fits with your acting.
It does fit with my acting, but with acting, you generally have a script, right? And I actually don't like improv very much. I like having a script. And when you're doing role play, you have to put yourself into the shoes of someone who's in charge of a business and carry out that scenario. And I'm less talking about case-based, you know, what should the strategy be from a third-party perspective, and more the role play classes where it's actually, all right, you're the CEO, you're firing your CTO, sit down and have that conversation with them, right? How do you actually manage that day-to-day of being a leader and being a manager? And it's really hard the first few times you're put on the spot to do that in class. But both by doing it and by watching other people do it and see how they do it, I do think you gain a lot that's really valuable going forward.
What would you have liked to see improved in your MBA experience? Again, we're talking before COVID now.
I mean, I think a lot of GSB students would say this as well, but I think people often find many of the first year required classes a bit frustrating because it's very heavily numerical and they're taught in more traditional ways, which I think isn't what people enjoy the most or want the most. These sort of classic lectures at a blackboard and a problem set that you do at home is far less exciting than those more hands-on interactive courses.
Right. It's interesting. I've spoken to HBS students, and obviously they have the very rigid case method, but it puts, and their complaint is frequently similar. They'll say, I wish, you know, a different way, they'll say that we have to take these basic classes, even though, you know, we're well advanced. Well, you know, our education is well beyond these basic classes, and we would prefer, you know, to be able to test out of them and take something more interesting. So I don't know. I guess there's something about the basic classes, no matter what way they're taught, that...
Yeah, I don't think people love them anywhere.
Right, right. Now, you went to GSB with some specific goals in mind. Did you achieve your goals there in terms of learning strategy and business, acquiring a framework for business?
I absolutely did. What I'm doing right now in terms of work is 100% drawing on that. So, and I don't think I could have Googled around and made a go at it before, but I'm definitely doing it in a more structured and efficient and productive way than I would have without that.
Okay, great. Great. Yeah. Cause there is, especially in Silicon Valley, a certain perspective that you don't need an MBA.
Right. And I think for many jobs, you don't need one, right? You can figure out what you need to of the business side.
Right.
But certainly for some roles, it makes you a lot more effective.
Right. And maybe you learn a little bit less through your own errors and take advantage of other people's. Right. You were an admissions ambassador for Stanford GSB. How did that change your, first of all, what did you do as an admissions ambassador? And then did it change your perspective on the admissions process at all?
So it mostly just means that I gave tours of the campus and also did Q&A info sessions, kind of like this, but with a bunch of prospective students asking me the questions.
Okay.
We didn't, you know, get any inside insights into the process. They were really just trying to give everybody student perspectives, and they were pretty open about letting us be as honest as we wanted to be. So, you know, if people asked, what was your favorite part? And someone said, well, it was that all-night party in Vegas. If that's the honest answer, that's the answer the admissions department wanted you to give. So I liked that honest approach to it. But I don't think I learned more about the process.
Did it change your perspective, though, in the sense that were you surprised at some of the questions you got in terms of, you seem very focused and very prepared. Were you surprised at some of the applicants were not so prepared or not so focused, or some of the questions you got?
I actually found it to be almost the opposite, that many applicants came in too polished and too prepared, and their questions, especially after the official info sessions when they caught you one-on-one, were trying to get the secret thing that they should write in their essay. And no matter how many times you said, like, everyone who got here wrote something really different, and it was the authenticity that got them through rather than picking the right topic. People were really trying to get the secret that doesn't exist.
Right, right. This is the magic formula. Okay, it's a great answer. Thank you. How was your adjustment to online learning, social distancing, and sheltering in place?
So I got to admit, I hate online learning, and it's not a comment on the teaching. I was actually really impressed by what most of my professors did to make the online learning engaging and the ways they used Zoom features kind of to the max to make classes more interesting. But I got Zoom fatigue pretty rapidly on the days that I had a lot of classes. So it was a tough adjustment. It was also hard to figure out, you know, so much of business school is the social element with your classmates.
Yeah.
And it's just not the same to have Zoom hangouts with them, even if you're doing fun online games. And so figuring out a cadence for that where I could still feel really connected to my friends, but not have it be one more chore that was adding to that Zoom fatigue was hard.
Did you ever figure it out?
Not really, you know, partially a little bit. You know, we found every 2 weeks or so, and picking activities to do together, not necessarily just chatting, but like finding games to do together via Zoom helped in addition to chatting, but it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, I think everybody's struggling with it, not just MBA students. It's just part of life at the moment. What are you doing for the company in Nigeria, and how did you?
So I did go for a classic post-business school job, and I will be starting with Bain, but Bain delayed everybody's start dates. Thank you. So I was originally going to start with Bain in August and just take July off, and now I'm starting with Bain in December, and that seemed like too long of a break. And so I decided to find some things to fill the gap. And the thing that I found for July and August was working with Stanford's SEED program, which places both MBAs and undergrads with companies based primarily in Africa and India in business roles to help those companies grow. So I was paired with this company based in Nigeria, Credit Registry. It's the largest credit bureau there and the first one that was founded. And I'm working with them on sort of analyzing and visualizing a lot of the data they have, because as you can imagine, a credit bureau has a huge amount of data.
Sure.
And also on some of their content and marketing, and really trying to pull those two threads together and find ways for them to be the voice, the authoritative voice of credit in Nigeria.
Wow, that sounds like fascinating work.
It's been really interesting so far. I mean, I'm on day four, so I'm still finding my feet. But yeah, it's been really cool so far.
And you're not planning to go to Nigeria at this point because of all the travel restrictions, I assume.
Right. I really hope to visit them at some point in future when it's possible. And the CEO has extended an open invitation for when travel is possible again for me to please come visit in person. But I don't think it will be during my work for them, just because that's only a few months.
Right, for sure. So what are your plans for the future? You mentioned Bain.
So for these next couple of months, I'm working with Credit Registry. I've also, during my business school experience as well, been doing some consulting on the side for some nonprofits and startups. So probably when this internship ends, I'll keep doing some of that independent consulting for the remaining couple months before Bain starts. But then I'll probably try to wind those down before I start with Bain, because I hear that that's a rather all-consuming job.
Yeah. Is there a specific area you're consulting in with Bain, or do you know?
No, part of the appeal for me was to start out as a generalist.
I think that kind of fits your overall pattern, doesn't it?
Definitely does.
Okay. And how do you see yourself, and we touched on this a little bit, but I want to go back to it. How do you see yourself satisfying both your love for the humanities and passion for quantitative subjects, as well as using your obvious talents in both areas?
Yeah, I mean, in the immediate future, I think consulting's not a bad way to do that. And I hope alongside whatever I'm doing as my main cases to be able to do some pro bono work for nonprofits and maybe even for some arts nonprofits. In the long term, that's something I'm still figuring out. You know, I think in almost any strategy job, being strong in both very quantitative skills and qualitative skills is very valuable, right? Really understanding the data and also being good at communicating it and making decisions based on it. But how exactly that will play out in my future, I'll let you know when I know.
Okay, well, as long as I guess you're having a good time. What advice would you have for possible applicants contemplating applying to the class of 2023, which would be the class applying this coming cycle?
Wow, it's weird to think that this cycle would be 2023. That feels far in the future. I mean, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but truly, like, authenticity and a unique voice, I think, are what matters the most, shining through in the application, in the interview, in all of that, and excitement for whatever it is that you're writing about, right? Like, I don't care if it's opera in my case, or like ice cream, or your family. And in fact, I'm quite certain at least one of my classmates wrote about ice cream, but it's just got to be, you know, true to you.
Okay, that's great advice. That is absolutely great advice. What would you have liked me to ask you?
I think you covered a pretty complete set of questions there.
All right. Then I think, Alana, I don't want to impose on your generosity and time any further. I want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your MBA and more than MBA story with my listeners and me.
You're welcome.
Listener, thank you too for joining Alana Walder-Bizanz and me for Mission Straight Talk's 377th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. Final reminder, if you are applying to Wharton, go to accept.com/377webinar and register for our upcoming webinar, Get Accepted to Wharton. It'll take you just a second, and the benefits can last a lifetime. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.